All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on! This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It is a Thursday on The Usual Suspects. All present and accounted for. Nick's here, Barry's here, I'm here. Hopefully you are here for the next 3 hours with us as we take you through sports and stuff and have a little bit of a fun time right here on ESPN 97.5. What's up, fellas?
What's up, buddy?
What it do?
I'm talking to Nick, right?
No. Talking to you because okay. You said what's up first.
Yeah.
How goes it?
It's going.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You seem frazzled today.
Nah. Little snafu in the scheduling. Was told to be here by 11:30. Changed my whole day. And then on the way, called to verify we were set for 11:30 and was told, nope, it's canceled. And I went, okay.
Oh, for videos?
No. And then we did the videos too. So. We had a video to do too, but no, I'm fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah.
I think I was napping at 11:30. Sorry about that.
Good thing you didn't rub it in or anything.
No, I would never do that. You know me. Not going to do that at all. How'd the draft go last
night? That's the first question. How'd the draft go?
It went great. I mean, no weirdness. I think everybody was cool. Everybody was nice to speak to.
No one made it weird.
Had the chicken fried chicken.
No offensive team names? Taking shots at any of us?
Nobody really took shots at all. As a matter of fact, I finally got to meet Uber Mike.
Oh, really? He's in the league, huh?
Let me tell you something about Uber Mike. Uber Mike is a suspect, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because he completely owns the fact that he does not care what any of his passengers say when the suspects are on the air.
I love
like,
it.
He
oh,
owns
that's great.
He puts his Uber rating on the line to be a suspect.
Really?
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
He does not care.
Much love to Uber Mike for that.
Oh, so I asked him, "How? Like, do you do this all the time?"
He knows we're not taking care of him if he's unemployed, right? We're not. if we cost him his livelihood, that's not on us, right?
I don't think so. It shouldn't be.
All right, good. Just making sure.
Yeah, but no, he says some people react. Sometimes it's an awkward feeling. Sometimes people laugh. Some people don't like it. So
really? Who doesn't like us? That's crazy
talk. Well, he's told us about some of them, right?
No.
Based on certain topics.
The girls don't fart one. There was a female passenger that wasn't happy with him about
that.
She
farts a lot. That's why she didn't like that.
And then the old lady, who you would think would be offended, was talking about getting her toes sucked. So,
boy,
we do cover the
wow. And when you put it like that, I listen to that and think, boy, we talk about some weird stuff.
Yeah,
we do.
Oh, well,
we do really have a really wide spectrum fault. Of topics.
We've always said it's just like hanging out at the bar. This is the stuff that guys talk about.
Yep.
If we were hanging out having drinks, the only difference between then and now is there's microphones in front of us and, you know, thousands of people can hear us as opposed to three of us at the bar. But whatever.
Now, Nicholas.
Deal with it. Sorry, Uber Mike.
What
but
pick
much love.
Did you have?
Number one overall pick.
Number one overall.
So let me get this straight. You had the number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
Joel. You had what pick?
Two.
Why was I 10 out of 10?
I think they did
that Courtney liked you.
Yeah, they did a personality rating, and it was rated accordingly.
I'm a 10 out of 10. That's why.
No,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, you losers are a 1 out of 10 and a 2 out of 10.
Well, depends on the day.
I demand a recount. I demand an explanation.
Well, we had a list of number one in our league. Oh, that's right. No, we didn't. We had Courtney as number one in our league.
Oh, Courtney was number one?
She had the number one overall pick.
And you were number two.
Yeah.
I
was
going to
complain because when Jason Hebert came up, she's like, we're still waiting for the draft order. He's like, no, we're not. You're number one. And I was about to say something, and he goes, no, you're one and Joel's two. I was like, oh, well, just be quiet then. I'll take that.
Is there a way to tell if the draft was set to random or not?
That's what they were telling me because we actually had one one player with two teams.
Uh-oh, that's not good either.
And they were telling me you can totally set it to random. So we would have to ask Courtney because she's the one who set that.
Jason in our league ratted out the guy that had two teams, and we were able to get another guy.
Okay.
But
no.
I don't know how
draft setting. I'm on the league page for the Law and Order League, which is the superior league to any other league, by the way. And it does say randomized 1 hour prior to draft time.
Okay.
So ours was completely randomized. I have a feeling y'all's the fix was in. You and Courtney went 1-2.
I wish I had known that that was the case.
Ours was randomized and y'all's wasn't. I don't like it.
So, Barry, if you had the number one pick in a PPR league, who would you have taken?
Whatever my app said, probably Barkley, right?
Yeah, Saquon would have been the guy.
Yeah.
Nick, you went against the norm.
Yeah, I went with Thomas.
Michael Thomas, the receiver from the Saints. So you went, because of the PPR aspect, you were telling me some of the guys on your team. You got a pretty staunch set of receivers.
I tend to do that every year, though. I've always done that. I mean, the one time that I've won, I had a wide receiver-heavy approach. I'm not saying that's the way to go, but out of the, what, six or seven times I've played Fantasy League, I've won once, and I've always gone wide receiver-heavy in a PPR league.
At least you're not Daryl Morey.
Just stacking up
assets. Daryl Morey stacks running backs.
There was Ali in our league was talking about doing that. He's like, man, I'm going to draft five tight ends. And then they wouldn't let him. They're like, you have reached the limit on tight ends. And I go, well, there goes that theory. But he wanted to do what Morey does is and then, you know, load up on one position that might be kind of weak, grab everybody, and then just make trades.
Yeah. Yep.
Here's the problem. If everyone knows you did that, nobody wants to trade with you. I've had two trade offers already because I ended up with the 10th pick and the 11th pick. I went Tyreek Hill, Julio Jones. And now everybody wants Tyreek Hill from me. So, first of all, if you're going to make a trade, and this is just general fantasy advice, it has to be a win-win. It can't be a win and, that's not advantageous for
me. Right, you're not in the hole yet to have to make any kind of desperate move. No. So, make it worth my while.
And like I said, I pretty much at every position except running back, I have one of the top two or three people or, you know, kickers or whatever. Right, right. At every position except running back. And so I could get better at running back, but I'm not hurting. I have Fournette and Philip Lindsay. I could be worse.
Yeah.
So you got to make it worth my while to want to make that trade. And so stacking up those assets can be advantageous. Like I already had I had Deshaun Watson as my starting quarterback, and then I drafted Lamar Jackson and had a chance to grab Drew Brees. And the app that I was using was telling me to get Drew Brees. And I was like, nope, not going to do it. So I just went to the next pick down. Somebody's like, bro, I would have totally, if you grabbed Brees, I was totally just going to offer you whatever. I was like, damn, I should have grabbed Drew Brees. So I kind of could have done that, but no.
I could have done what I did anyway, which was just stack Saints, but then I'd only be trading with one guy. So that would have been not advantageous, but I still would have been, it would have been very satisfying.
Did you, when you did your draft, did y'all go to the league and see what they said where you guys would finish based on your draft?
I didn't do that, but I was comparing three different sites in terms of like who would be drafted in different positions.
If you go to the ESPN page and go to your league, you can go to the draft results, and it'll tell you where they think you'll finish, or like they'll give you. I think you can only do it in the app, actually. So it'll tell you on the app itself. It'll say, "Oh, we predict you'll finish whatever." So I'm curious where it says you guys will finish.
So you can't do it on
no.
Just
I think
online?
It's just in the app itself. But it said I was going to finish second, so I'm happy with that.
All right.
That means the footballguys.com app didn't do me dirty.
Well, that's good.
So well, nobody made it weird last night, huh, Nicholas? No listeners made it weird. Nobody got crazy.
No, not really. I feel like everybody was super cool. I mean, we got a confident bunch, but
everybody was cocky and talking mess.
Yeah, Nick is very confident that he's going to win. Nick, not being me,
right?
Nick, one of the participants.
I just figured maybe you went Ricky Henderson on us. Started talking to a third person.
No,
today I am the greatest. No, so there was somebody that proclaimed they were going to be the winner already.
Yeah, that would be Nick. Yeah, okay. Nick is very confident that he's winning this entire thing.
We'll see, right? And what else? Uber Mike was in there.
Hunter was there. He says he texts. He doesn't participate via Twitter.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's
okay.
A big dude.
Is he?
Not in a bad way. Fat? He looks like a big dude.
Like fat?
No, not like fat.
Oh, muscles?
Yeah. I mean, he's.
Why'd you hesitate? You're like, yeah.
Allen, Uber Mike, Hunter, Matthew.
Is Hunter one of those guys that used to work out and then he stopped and now he's got like fat muscle?
That's more
where
accurate.
It's like, oh, you used to lift. Now you just lift cheeseburgers. And so we can tell. Is that how Hunter looks now?
Who's that? Remember Todd Duffy?
I noticed you just skipped it.
Remember Todd Duffy?
Todd Duffy. I do remember Todd
Duffy. The heavyweight?
Duffy. Yes. Is that what? I'm gonna show you who Todd Duffy is.
Okay.
And then you can see. He does. So he kind of looks like that, huh?
Our guy Chandler renamed his team from 90 and Barry's rear to Avoid the Boyd.
Avoid the Boyd.
Okay, I would assume that's his last name.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Do we want to do this real quick?
If you'd like.
I know we go
we
against.
We have a rule.
Yeah. All right. Well, that'll be apropos. Let's get this. Justin, we normally don't take calls in first segment, but you want to talk draft because we're going to be moving on from this topic. So what's up, Justin?
Hey, it wasn't. I guess I don't really have info why you were number 10 pick. I guess I should have worded that different. But they had a guy call in on a Throw Shade Thursday on the Blitz this morning. He's claimed to be the commissioner of your league, Barry, and he wanted to throw shade at you because you were bitching about being 10th overall pick, but he was number 9 overall pick. You know, so I was, you know, I don't know. I can't remember the guy's name, but he said he was the commissioner of your league.
Are you like the messenger?
What's that?
So are you like the messenger?
I guess kind of, sort of. I mean, I listen to y'all. I mean, well, I'm listening to my favorite show now, but I listen to ESPN radio all day. That's all I listen to all day long. So, you know, I just thought it was funny because, you know, whoever your commissioner is claims that he was number 9 and you were number 10 and everybody else is getting 1 and getting the good picks or whatnot. So I didn't want you to feel too bad about it.
Appreciate that, Justin. Thanks for the call and thanks for saying that we're your favorite show. That we appreciate.
That's why I'm going to let everything else go.
Until you leave that man alone.
I was going to ask Justin, what show was he listening to this morning?
Yeah. I do like that. I seem to be popular on Throw Shade Thursday. There's this one weirdo racist redneck guy that brings me up all the time, and now my league commissioner. Sweet.
Every opportunity. And you know what else is weird?
Sweet.
It's like we've got producer cam. We've got the Twitch feed. But somehow there's got to be a feed in the bullpen that shows you what interns are working because it never fails. When we get a new inexperienced intern, somehow there's a call that slides through the switchboard.
Yeah.
Unless you're just psychotic enough to call every day.
Yeah, that too.
I don't know. Hmm. But regardless the reason.
Appreciate the call, Justin. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
And the support.
Yeah, man.
The one thing I take away from all of our leagues is at least we've got a really good bunch of suspects, not just people that randomly heard about it, but we've got people that are legitimately loyal to the show, and I like that.
I do like that. Yep.
So that's good stuff. All right, we're just getting started. Lots of news going on. Astros lose a game they were supposed to win last night. There's controversy about a topic we've talked about in the past, which is a team not allowing a certain media member to have access. We can talk about that. Astros made a bunch of moves as well, so we can cover some baseball. And, of course, whatever you got on your mind, you want to get off your chest. Hey, football, if you believe what the used-to-bes are about preseason, this is week 3 starting tonight. Should be a lot of number 1 type players on the field as we get ready for the third weekend of preseason. So lots to get to, and if you want to join us, 713-780-3776. That's our HR&P listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at the producer Nick. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about, we were just talking about fantasy football, and we had all of our drafts at Twin Peaks, and you should too. Because I'm telling you right now, it is the premier destination for anybody having a fantasy football draft because they give you priority. You tell them you're going to have a draft, they reserve the tables for you, they take great care of you. You know the fantastic Twin Peaks girls are going to do their job and do it very well. And again, you've got just made from scratch appetizers and meals. You've got 29-degree draft beer, and you've got Wi-Fi and everything set up with all the different screens around you so you can just take care of business, have a great draft, and have a lot of fun with your friends. All you got to do is get in touch with Twin Peaks, and they'll take care of you. It's twinpeaksrestaurant.com, and you can register. And while you're registering, keep in mind, college football starts this weekend, and it's the back-to-school party as the Twin Peaks girls are going back to school August 19th through the 25th. Class is now in session, and you can participate just by being at one of the 5 Houston-area Twin Peaks locations. All you got to remember is Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride, wherever you may be in the big city on this Thursday. Fellas, where are you at on this? So we go to break, and I go to the restroom. First of all, it's the only restroom I've ever seen in my life in which the utility and electrician's closet is located inside of the stall in the bathroom. Okay. So I walk in, and I'm just going to the urinal, and I look up. And there's a dude in that stall on a ladder with the ceiling tile up that looks down and goes, "Hey, what's up?" And I'm like, "You got a clean shot right down on me. What the hell is going on?" Like, if someone comes in, I know you weren't responsible for putting the electrician's closet there, but wouldn't you just step down from the ladder and go, "You know what? I'm not going to, this is
weird.
Or just
don't look down."
It's just weird. Yeah. But to look down and kind of head nod and acknowledge, I'm like, no.
Did he tell you?
No, he didn't say anything. He was just looking down. I was like, that's creepy.
Nice piece, bro. Nothing?
Dude, he called me the Texas Hammer.
Okay. I didn't need to know that.
Well, you asked.
I did ask. That's on me.
Yeah, but I was like, it's just very awkward.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
So I thought I'd throw it out there for you guys. And also give you fair warning. If you guys have to take a leak in the first hour, I'd be careful.
Okay. Got. Because
it might be the new version of Candid Camera, only the satellite version.
Hey, are you detecting a pattern with the Astros?
Elaborate, please.
Vegas had this as the biggest margin ever. When they were playing the White Sox, I believe it was Verlander's game.
It was.
And it was the second largest ever.
The Orioles series, too.
And I want to say they're 0 for 3 in these games where they've been heavily favored by Vegas, and it's been one of the largest spreads in baseball or betting history for baseball. And they crapped the bed.
So ESPN put a graphic up this morning of the five biggest upsets based on those
on spreads
odds and spreads. Yeah. The Astros have three of them, and at least two of them were this year. I think three of them were this year.
No, I think it was just two of them.
Two of them this year.
That I recall it, but I didn't know if the Orioles. I couldn't recall, but I think it was the Orioles and now the Tigers and not the White Sox. It was the Orioles and the Tigers.
The big one on the White Sox series was to bet that Verlander and Cole would win the doubleheader, and then Cole didn't pitch the second game of the doubleheader.
But just the actual game itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, you're right. It was the Orioles because they're an awful baseball team this year. So that's disappointing, and you hate to hear stuff like that happening because you feel like, you know, at one point we talked about this team had a very 2017 vibe going when they were winning a lot in a row and their record was sparkling and everything was clicking and, man, it just they couldn't do any wrong. And now, you know, that 2017 doesn't lose games like last night. Well, they found ways to win games like last night.
Yeah, you and I went back and forth a little bit because I said, look, while the Red Sox, who have been scuffling, swept the Orioles, and the Yankees swept the Orioles, and then you didn't sweep the Orioles. And, you know, the good news is the White Sox are playing better baseball. They shut out the Twins last night. They've taken two from the Twins. So they're playing better, so that doesn't look as bad.
A's beat the Yankees in their first game.
They're rolling, though.
So I don't put much stock in that, do you?
I mean, it concerns me a little bit, but then you get into what you're talking about, too, and I'm like, yeah, I do have some concerns that whether you heard the old adage of playing to the level of your competition or whatever, but you should be stomping these guys. And you already had a bad feeling when all the news came out yesterday that this was going to be the most one-sided matchup in betting history in baseball over the last however many years. But then when I'm watching this game, and of course, he was basically perfect for the first four innings.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're looking at it, and when he does that little extra hop off the mound, you know that he knows that he's given up a bomb.
Oh, that, Yeah.
And then, you know, people forget this, but, and I was kidding when I first started talking about it. Like, let's let Verlander just go on ahead and give up a home run because then he'll settle back in every start. But when you looked at it this year, he had the most home runs given up by any pitcher in the first half of the season, and he made the All-Star team.
Yeah.
Now he's given up the most home runs in baseball for the season, and he's approaching the all-time record set by, like, Gaylord Perry back in the day. But yet, you look at his line score, and you go, he gave up two hits. He never pitched from the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
He had 11 strikeouts. He did everything right. And you and I were talking about this, getting ready to go in the air. The one thing that I chapped my ass from the time that I turned the TV on last night was, I feel like A.J. Hinch assumed they were going to win the game no matter what, and it was going to be just like a carryover the first two games. And so he sat Brantley, and he put Straw in the lineup, and he put a weak-hitting lineup out there. And I'm looking at it, I'm going, no, I would step on their throat. You know that they're not a very good team right now. I would just step on their throat and take every win I can get.
Well, all right, so a couple things. Let's back up to Verlander real quick. It is crazy that he gets a loss. He goes complete game, 99 pitches, and he lowers his ERA in the process of losing to the Tigers. And he only gives up the two solo home runs. The Tigers, he pitched a two-hitter. That's insane to me that he goes out. If you were to say Justin Verlander pitched a two-hitter against the Tigers, there would be no question that that was a dub. Like, they won that game, and oh boy, he didn't even hit 100 pitches. It's 99. Wow. Yeah, he must have been on it. Oh, he was, except for two mistakes. And the problem this time wasn't the Astros pitching. It wasn't the Astros bullpen. It was the Astros lineup. And like you said, here's the thing, though, about your theory about running a couple of weak guys out there. One, Miles Straw is probably still, even though his average is down to 235, he can't be doing any worse than Josh Reddick at this point. Reddick has been pretty awful and probably worthy of a 9 spot on this roster right now as well. Two, Mayfield, you really didn't have a choice with Aledmys Diaz out. You kind of have to run somebody out there. Now, if you wanted to, you know, figure out what you would do by maybe moving Yuli to third and put Bregman at short, and I don't know what you do at first base. You think maybe Alvarez is ready, or you call up somebody, which they've done, and we'll get to that as well to kind of solve that problem. But those two guys at the bottom of that lineup don't bother me that much. It's the fact that there's no one hitting right now. I mean, take away Chirinos in his 4-for-4 game because that was an anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
He's hitting less than .240. But nobody 1-6 did anything. And that's the guys that you should be able to run a Miles Straw out there with this kind of Astros lineup and not have to worry about it. But nobody picked this team up. Nobody picked up Justin Verlander. This team, I mean, from the standpoint of scoring runs, I mean, they've had 6 in game 2, they had 5 in game 1. You don't want to say that they're scuffling or struggling. Even in their losses, they, you know, had 4 runs, 6 runs, 9 runs in those losses going back to the A's and the White Sox. But still, there's something off about this team right now. And whether you want to blame it all solely on the bullpen, solely on the offense, there's just something. They're not clicking like they were earlier in the season.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it because I can tell you that they lost 13-9 and you know, won a game 4-1. And so there's this dichotomy of different offenses, different bullpens. They're getting saves, but they're blowing games.
The other thing I don't like,
pitchers letting them down, but they're pitching complete games and losing. It's weird.
And then I don't like that they go out and they make the Greinke move and everybody basically changes the odds and basically says they're the odds on favorite to get there, if not win it all. Okay? And then it's almost like they feel like they've been anointed to some degree. So it's almost like they've taken the foot off the gas pedal a little bit. And then you see some of the slip-ups, and you see some of the things that have happened. And now the injury bug's coming back again. And so you can't just get caught up in the hype and the numbers and the media, because now you really got to kind of work your ass off again. And maybe that's a good thing, and they got to have a wake-up call, because when we come back, we'll get into all the guys that are on the DL. But right now, with Correa out again, and that's going to be, they said that Correa and Aledmys Diaz won't be available till September. So now that's the rest of the month without those two guys. And you continually – now Sanchez is on the DL as well, and you see that Ryan Pressly, we're going to get to, is also going to be there amongst other things, amongst other guys. We're going to have to talk about a lot of overcoming injuries now.
And you said something that I think may also be the case, and we'll pick that up on the other side. But right now, I want to tell the people about GetUpside because, hey, look, if you're not using GetUpside, you're leaving money at the table. You're leaving money at the pump, literally. And don't take my word for it. My guy Theo Armstrong sent me a screenshot of his GetUpside where he was getting 29 cents a gallon back. Guys, that's ridiculous. Are you getting 29 cents a gallon back in cash when you fill up? He was getting 35 cents if he got the mid-grade. This is just his experience. Is it going to be like that every time? No, but that's the opportunities that you get when you use GetUpside. And he did the math real quick. He said, dang, if I get 29 cents a gallon and put 24 gallons of gas in my truck, that's almost $7 back. If someone walked up to you while you're pumping gas and said, here's $7, you're going to be so excited. You're going to put that in your pocket. I mean, that's great. That's the only way you're going to get that is through the GetUpside app. So download it right now. Put it on your phone. It's completely free. And here's the thing. Like, if you don't like GetUpside, you don't have to use it. But at least give it a try. And when you do, make sure you use my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, because I want you to get that extra bump. And I don't know if this was using my promo code or if this was just a random day in the middle of GetUpside's everyday cash back that they offer. But either way, it's outstanding. And either way, I want you to get it. So go do yourself a favor right now. Download GetUpside. Put it on your phone. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back, and you know what to do. Thank me later.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, Joel, Thursday, big city tomorrow in FYF, Friday. We'll have a comedian of the week. We'll have plenty to get going with the first kind of college football weekend, which is great. Lots of good things going on a Friday, but here, it's
Why are you looking
Thursday.
At me like that?
Just watching what you're doing over there.
You looking at my candy?
Did you make a solo cup of coffee, or did you make a full?
So there was coffee made. So I didn't know if you take your if you like your coffee like you like your women. Strong.
Hispanic.
I had no idea. You thought I was going to say black, huh?
I thought I was going to go Hispanic. Or...
No. Are you a black coffee drinker?
No.
What do you like, cream and sugar?
No, couple equal and
it's a
little
foo-foo drink, that really creamer. long drink he ordered
from
Starbucks.
Saying, we don't get that here. You get equal or sugar and cream.
We keep it simple.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, you can do that here. You can make your drink that they make for you at Starbucks here.
Let's not get started on that, because then you're going to get people that are all offended by what we drink and don't, and if it's strong or not, and everything else. We had that last time where they weren't suspects. They were fans of other shows that decided to get way too deep into that. So,
All right, back to the Astros, because
you had some points you wanted to make.
We got hot and heavy into this. One of the things that you mentioned that I wonder if it's true. I don't feel like this would be the case, but I'm just thinking out loud here based off of what you said. Mm-hmm. You said they went out and got Zach Greinke, and everyone updated the odds and said, well, this is the odds on favor to win the World Series. And I would agree with that statement when the trade happened. Mm-hmm. Do you think this team got too full of itself? Do you think this team thought, well, we won now, we can relax?
I
tend to think no, but it can happen to anybody.
I was gonna say,
what do you think?
I don't think that they full-blown got too full of themselves. But I will say that it's not out of the realm of possibilities to say that they started believing the press clippings going, oh, we got this now.
Yeah.
Especially because on the flip side, the Yankees did nothing. And everybody said they were the team that was going to compete with the Astros for the American League. So at least to get there, I can see how, like you were saying, I can see how these guys are like, yeah, we're good now.
Mm.
But again, that's why they play the games. And we kept warning people, look, just like out of the break when they came out of the gate slow, anything can happen. We've talked about the fact that they only have a handful of games against the Rays, Brewers, and A's who are over 500. The rest of the schedule, the rest of the way, says they should have just a breeze. But if they start believing those clips too, the Yankees aren't exactly going away, and they've been enduring injuries all year, and then injuries happen like we started to get into, and you go, you know what, guys? It's just...
Well,
I tell you, depending on this whole Ryan Pressly thing, because you mentioned it before,
you
the break.
Jinxed the hell out of my guy.
Yeah. Well, I jinxed him?
Yeah.
It was the only one that you would make sweet, sweet love to in that bullpen.
So then you wanted you to pound on him, and I... You wanted to pound on him.
I didn't pound on him. You wanted to pound on him.
You
That's how much you love him.
What you want? You want a little Rondon in your Osuna?
This is you. Nope. You and Pressly wanting to get it on. You want to pound on
you
him?
Want
and...
that circle of death?
No,
Devo.
I don't. But it sucks that.
Did anybody mention the Brad Peacock?
It sucks that this is a guy that you counted on, and now 6 weeks out. And here's the scary thing: is he may not be ready for the first series.
That's what I was thinking.
Because depending on when the playoffs start, and it's going to be in the beginning of October, the first week of October. I want to say October 3rd or 4th or something like. Maybe October 1 is the first wild card game.
First week in October.
Yeah, but that's on the cusp of that 6 week window. Yep. Then he's going to have to get some game action under his belt. Usually by that time, the minor leagues are done with. So it's going to be bullpen sessions, and you're not going to see a lot of live action. So
you're missing one part of that, too.
What?
And that is, you can put a timetable on it in terms of when it's supposed to be where
the
you can actually
process.
Use it. But in terms of the healing process itself, it's not going to feel right. And he's going to feel different. And it's not going to be 100%.
Yep.
And it's kind of like we said about when someone tears an ACL or an Achilles or all these other things. Sure, medical technology has sped up the process of how long it takes to recover. But just like they used to say about ACLs, you're really not back to your normal self for 15 months to a year and a half, you know, 2 years. 2 years is when you're really, really back to normal. I don't think it's that long of a wait. But when you have a surgery like that, no matter what, you can say 4 to 6 weeks, but yeah, you may be ready to participate again, but you may not be.
Well, that's worst case, too. A lot of people get their knee scoped and they're back within 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's worst case is yes, he's ready to go in 6 weeks, but he needs more time and he doesn't feel 100%. And it gets, you know, he's uncomfortable on the mound.
Yeah, regardless, it's just not
that's
an ideal
the worst
situation.
Case scenario. No, but if you can get him back in 4 weeks and he's got 2 weeks to figure it out before the postseason starts, that would be ideal for this team. But you got to plan for the worst. Now, the good news is you know, September call-ups are around the corner, so you're going to have a lot of these young cats coming up. You're going to get some extra arms and some help and get some rest for that bullpen. As long as you can hold off the A's, you win the division, you should be you know, in the driver's seat in that regard. And I know you're still scoreboard watching because you would like for them to have home field advantage throughout.
Yep.
But they're not that far back. I mean, the Yankees have them by 2 in the loss column right now.
Yep.
Yankees have 45 losses. The Astros have 47. So it's not out of the realm of possibilities that they still end up with the best record in the American League. But, you know, they're going through some things. But I'm going to tell you who doesn't feel sorry for them by losing Correa and Pressly, and that's the Yankees.
Yankees, absolutely.
Yankees are like, we could – you talk to us about injuries, please.
And here's the other thing. Just what you were just saying, and it's things we've talked about on this show, showed that maybe we didn't pay enough attention to the fact that we should still be looking at things like the division and just taking care of your business. Because, yeah, I had said I'm watching the Yankees and the Dodgers every night, and I want the Astros to catch them because for all intents and purposes, I felt like the division was over. But then the one thing you don't factor in is injuries like this can happen. Teams can go on a cold spell. And just as easily as you can rattle off a couple of 8-9 game winning streaks, you can lose 4 or 5 in a row. And just like that, you're in the middle of a race that's tighter than you thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think everybody just has to kind of take a step back and refocus a little bit, because now they got a little more work to do than they anticipated fighting through all these injuries.
Well, they called up. We mentioned earlier that you said that they kind of ran out a weaker than normal lineup and put Straw in left field, and you had
Super Jack
Mayfield playing shortstop. So they went out and they called up Abraham Toro. I think they probably wanted to wait until September to get his bat in the lineup, but they feel like with Correa going down, they really didn't have a chance. If you look at his numbers this year between splitting time at Round Rock and AAA and Corpus Christi at AA, pretty good numbers. He showed a lot of power at Corpus when he played in 98 games, had a 435 at bats, and he hit 16 home runs, 70 RBIs, and hit 306. his the short time he had 79 plate appearances at AAA, but hit .424.
Well, Mark Berman said he caught up with Luno, and Luno said, look, based on what happened last night and JV only gives up two hits and has a performance like that, and we let him down, we felt like we had to go into our minor leagues to get a hot hitter as well as a guy that can play multiple infield positions just to try and combat that.
So to give you an idea, his combined minor league numbers this year, 17 home runs, 80 RBI, split between AAA and AA, .324 batting average, and a .938 OPS. That's pretty damn good.
Yep.
Now, the scary thing is that when you go back and look at his couple of previous years, he wasn't doing anything near that. 2018, he split time between fall ball, A ball, and double A, and he hit .247.
Can I also burst your
bubble?
The year
before that, he hit .246.
You know who had numbers like that in the minor leagues this year, too?
Yeah, Yordan Alvarez.
And Miles Straw.
Yeah. Yeah.
Miles Straw is hitting like .315 or .320 in the minors.
Yeah.
But as Kyle Tucker will tell you, it's a whole different ballgame when you get up to the big league.
That'll be interesting to see what, you know, what Abraham Toro does when he gets up here. He's a third baseman. He can play a little second base. It's weird because they also have, on Baseball Reference, had him listed as a catcher.
Really?
Yeah. But for this, he caught back in like 2017.
I didn't know the Texans mascot's first name was Abraham.
Okay. But he's played, he's mostly plays third base. He has played a little bit of first. He had like six, seven, eight games at first base this year between AA, AAA. A little bit at second base, not many games, maybe 15. But the bulk of his time is spent at third base. So when he plays tonight, do they play tonight?
Who
they play?
Yeah.
So Cole's when he out. Plays, he'll play third base.
I was just going to say, that's what Bregman tells
you. Bregman will play second base. Or, no, I mean, shortstop.
Yep.
Yeah, and then
two
you could have,
second.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the move because Jack Mayfield is a guy. He had his nice little 15 minutes of fame when he first came up. But you know what you're going to get from him. You're going to get decent defense and nothing at the plate.
And again, even with the defense, you know that he's not Correa. You know he's not Bregman. And he doesn't have the arm strength either. So it's just
or the
your
range.
Defense suffers, right? A little bit too. And again, take the least amount of variables out of the equation and you don't have to move around a lot of people. But Bregman's already proven he can play a great shortstop. So that helps you if this guy can come in and just be solid at third. All right, we'll continue to roll on. First hour of the show, 3 hours. And by the way, here's a quick reminder. Forgot to get this to you last segment. Sigmund Bloom, who normally joins us at 2:30, had some schedule conflicts. He's going to join us at 2 o'clock. So if you've got a draft coming up like we had this week, or better yet, if you already had a draft and you're asking about players, Sigmund Bloom, 2 p.m. That means start texting the show, and we'll line them up in the next segment. And then we'll take the calls. Calls, as we always mention, are priority. Then we'll check the text messages and the tweets to try and get as many questions in a rapid fire as we can. So Sigmund Bloom, fantasy football questions, 2 p.m. Back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through the first hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. You know we like to give back to you, the suspects. So again, Sigmund Bloom, fantasy football expert. You know that because he's a personal friend of both Barry Laminack and Lance Zierlein, which means he is top shelf. He's going to join us at 2 p.m. So have your questions ready via text, Twitter, and phone. And understand that phone calls will be taken first, as we always do. Those are the rules with Sigmund. We get him out of the way now because it's going to be all year.
I do want to say something, though. This is not a... What?
Okay.
Well, this is still... We're not into week one setting lineup, so...
No, but
I don't want people calling and be like, hey, week one, should I start this guy or that guy? Wait until week one
to
make those calls. This is more about drafting, draft strategy.
I'm in a PPR league.
Long-term league strategy for the year. Like, hey, yeah, I'm in a PPR league. Should I focus heavily on wide receiver up front, or I was thinking this was my strategy. I mean, give me some pointers or tips or whatever.
Or like in my case, all the draft cheat sheets that I saw, and I drafted second, said that I should take Christian McCaffrey. And I don't believe in him as an every down back. And I think Alvin Kamara will give me more from a running perspective and equal his receptions. So I went that route. And I would ask Sigmund before, if I had a chance to do that before the draft, if I knew my position, hey, is that a smart move?
Well, let's ask him.
That's fine.
What did your projections in your league say?
Kiss my ass.
He looked it up. That's why.
Yeah.
Because
Jason Avery looked it up for me.
ESPN said that I'll finish second in my league. What did they say for you,
Joel?
You
know what they also said? The Astros are the heads on favorite to get to the World Series.
What did you say, Joel? What did yours say?
Fifth or sixth.
Knicks is going to be 11th. There's only 10 of us.
I don't even know. I haven't checked.
That would be classic.
That would be great. You're going to finish 12th. There's only 10 teams. You just do it in the app. You just go to league settings, and then I'll show you. Do you have the app on your phone?
Nick. I do.
Good. I'll show you how to do it. We'll see where it projects you to finish.
We don't have to talk about
yeah,
that.
No.
We totally finished most likely to not be in a keeper league.
See, and that's some other stuff we can talk about. We can talk about keeper league stuff, if you have keeper questions, because you got to make those decisions before the draft with Sigmund. And also, we can talk about daily fantasy, which I don't play, but I'm thinking about doing. Yeah. I'm not 100% in on that. Of course, if somebody decides they want to sponsor the show and wants us to play daily fantasy, I'm all in.
And speaking
I don't know.
Speaking of that, wagering. See a guy last night put 55 grand on the Astros with that spread just to win 10?
What?
And lost 55K.
That guy is dumb. Although,
I thought about the flip side of it.
I would have bet the house. I mean, it's Justin Verlander and the Tigers.
But again, his track record against the Tigers
and they were at home.
has not been good.
But this is an Astros
team
that
was at
home.
And the guy that got him, what's Hicks? Mm-hmm. The guy that got him in the ninth, got him the last time that he lost to the Tigers.
Well, it's one of those things where they were at home. It was Justin Verlander. The Tigers are bad. I did think it was kind of cool to see him get to face Miguel Cabrera. That was pretty cool. A little hat tip to begin.
But unlike the All-Star game, you could tell how, obviously, and I love it, because I love when he's on the mound.
He's doubting.
But because Cabrera kept wanting, and even after he struck out, he kept staring him down like, come on, JB, look at me and laugh at him.
Yeah.
And he just put his head down and went back to the dugout.
Yeah.
And I was like, I like that, but I also like that Cabrera – I lucked out. I got a picture with Verlander and Cabrera together. They used to be that tight that they had a game in Oakland and then came over to Oracle to see Rockets Warriors. And everybody was standing around, and there's people go, who the hell is that? Who's that? And who are these guys? And they're wondering why they were against. I go, dude, that's Justin Verlander, and that is Miguel Cabrera. And they're like, get out. And I go, and I walked up to him, and I just started, and I was talking to him a little bit about the Rockets. And at the end, I was like, hey, you boys mind if I get a quick pick before I go up to. They're like, yeah, sure, go ahead. And I got the pick of the two of them.
That's cool.
And you could see that they were, you know, they both had cocktails, but they're like, you know, and the other crazy thing was David Price was on the team at the time, and no one knew who the hell he was. But the other two guys were like sitting courtside. They were big sports fans. But you could tell they were tight. So that's why I was watching that dynamic last night going, you know what? That's got to be kind of hard.
To face your buddy like
that.
Yeah. He grew the fastball to open up the at-bat, too. And I thought, I wonder if that was just a, hey, if you hit this, good for you.
If you get me,
yeah.
Get me now.
So this whole Justin Verlander media thing is a big deal. There's a big kerfluffle going on.
This is the other side story of last night. Yeah.
Yeah. The Astros blocked a Detroit Free Press reporter from getting into the post-game press conference and interviewing Justin Verlander. They did so at the request of Justin Verlander. This violates the collective bargaining agreement, possibly. There's the Baseball Writers of America. And their union have agreements with baseball that this is to be allowed no longer than 10 minutes after a game should the media have access to players. It doesn't say what players, but if there is a press conference, everyone is allowed into the press conference. No one can be shunned from that as long as they have a valid credential, which this person did. So this was a big deal, and we'll talk about this. But Justin Verlander tweeted out a tweet about it, and he did so this morning at about 10:40.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I declined to speak with the Free Press rep last night because of his unethical behavior in the past. I reached out to the Free Press multiple times before the game to notify them why and to give them an opportunity to have someone else there. Ironically, they didn't answer. Although I tried to avoid the situation altogether, I've still reached out to the Free Press multiple times today with no response. They're still not interested in my side of the story. So I don't know where you guys fall on this.
Well, there's a follow-up to that now.
Okay, what's the follow-up?
The sports editor for the Free Press responded to that tweet with a tweet that said, my email is at the end of every one of my columns, and every writer is, and no one here has heard from you. Otherwise, they would have responded. So they were like, who did you reach out to? Because the other thing was, the day before his start, there was a scrum to get to him, And because this guy, the writer whose name is Anthony Fenich, was there. And he said, no, I'm not speaking today, all of a sudden. And he informally let some people know, as long as that guy's here, I'm not speaking to you then either.
To me, there's an easy way to get around this. It's very simple. You just don't answer that guy's questions. You don't acknowledge him.
You know who
you
are?
They say you have to be available. They don't say you have to answer every question. You have to acknowledge every reporter. You just have to be in the room. I think you were getting to like a Marshawn Lynch or, you know.
Barry Trammell and Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
There it is.
I was going to use that example. I was going to use the Andy, what is it, Farillo, the guy that Boogie Cousins absolutely hated.
Yeah.
And I think that's what this guy is to Justin Verlander.
And that's fine. So if there's a guy you don't like, then when he asks you a question, just say next question. That's it.
That's the Westbrook. That's it. Yep, that's where I was
next
going.
Question.
Yeah.
You're not going to answer my question.
You could have avoided it.
Next question. How come you won't answer my question? Next question. Does anyone else have any questions or I'm done?
In the Russ Barry Trammell thing, he looked right at him and goes, because I don't like you.
Yeah. That's the easy way to solve this. And I think he was trying to prove a point, but I think this is really going to backfire on him. It's going to backfire on the team. It's a bad look.
Here's
and
what
we
I
literally
like.
Just got talking about press and access and all this other stuff about in sports. This is really
You're
bad
right.
for them.
And take it a step before that. Before we started talking about this and the local teams doing something like that, we were talking about James Dolan, who instructed the Knicks staff during the JT Barrett press conference to not allow one of the New York papers into cover because they pissed him off. And they got fined big. And it was a huge deal. And that's why I think, look, I've always been a fan of Verlander's, and obviously, especially since he's been with the Astros. But to the Astros PR staff, you got to be better than this. I know you're trying to be your guy's best friend, but at the same time, you catch a lot of backlash for this, and it's a bad look.
He needed to be counseled. He needed to be told, hey, look, we have to let him in. Just ignore him. It sucks, but we can't do anything about that.
And now, he's going to have to justify.
If he walks off, that's on him.
Sure.
But this now has become a team issue and not an individual player issue. So
yeah, I think he has to justify the unethical accusation. You know what I mean? Like otherwise,
right.
it's a bad
like what
look.
It was it? Yeah.
Yeah. Was it a personal thing that wasn't supposed to be made public or whatever it was? But there's got to be more to it. So I've been trying to dig some stuff up. But we've got Sigmund Bloom next. We can continue that discussion after we talk to Sigmund. But again, with your drafts coming up and all the different strategies, Sigmund's here to answer questions. You can text. You can call. You can tweet us, and you know the order is calls, then text, then tweets as we get ready for Sigmund. That's coming up to start hour number two. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.